See, I have it's 6:09. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, that's what I have.
Okay. All right, the meeting is now called to order at 6:09 p.m. And I'm going to call roll. Okay, Teresa Allen, bear with me 1 minute. Okay. Allen is present. David Byes said he's going to try to get on, but he's on the phone with Verizon at this time. Bill Crozier, he said he might be a little late. Anissa Faruqi, not here. Bear with me 1 minute here. I am going to send a...
Don't you all start that. Nope. There's nothing out there. Leroy, there's nothing out there.
Okay. Tom Harper? Well, Tom's coming on later. Wally James? Not hearing Wally. Mike?
Bruce from New York. Hi.
Hi, Bruce. Okay. Yeah. I'll be right with you, Bruce. I'll call your name in a minute. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Okay. Robin Lewis, our development director?
I'm here.
Thank you. Carol McGregor?
I'm here.
Okay, Darrell Robbins, not hearing her. Nancy Zabarnaratomi, not hearing her. Wendy Schrell?
Here.
Okay, Deb Shapto, not hearing her. Jim Sheridan, not hearing. Venetia Williams, not hearing her. Rob Lee?
Here.
Rob is present. And Bruce Grief, G-R-E-I-F. Is that the right way to pronounce it, Bruce?
Good grief, Charlie Brown. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, Bruce is from New York. So welcome, Bruce. Is there anyone else on the call whose name I did not call out? Okay, welcome, everybody. Did you all receive the agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there anyone that needs the agenda? Okay. Not hearing that we do, then I'm going to proceed. Does anyone object to the agenda or have anything additional?
Nancy. Sorry, I'm late.
Hi, welcome, Nancy. Thank you very much. Okay. Does anybody have anything to add to the agenda?
Okay. Yes, Nancy. About one. One development item for, and then one outreach item. That's all.
Okay. Well, can you just bring it up under new business?
Fine.
Okay.
That's right.
Fine. So, is there any objection to the agenda as is read? Okay. Hearing none, approve without objection. All right. The minutes I sent out on December 15th, and then I sent them out last night. Do we have any objection to the minutes as they have been presented? Okay. Minutes from December approved without objection.
I'm sorry. I cannot. I haven't seen it. I haven't read it. I cannot. Just abstain me. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, well, I'm just going to say approve without objection then. Okay.
And please send to me, because I – what time did you send it? I'll try to find it.
Well, I sent them out on December 15th.
I see it. I got it. I'm sorry. I got it.
Okay, fine. All right. Robin, do you want to give us any report?
I wouldn't give it the magnificent name of a report.
Okay. Well, you want to give us any information?
Yeah. I'm just looking at your agenda,
mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'll just skip right to fundraising.
Okay.
The next on-air drive is scheduled to start on February 4. I haven't met with David Byes yet,
mm-hmm.
But I will tomorrow, but I don't expect that to change. I don't expect
mm-hmm.
the date to change. The monetary goal was $200,000. It's supposed to run from February 4 to the 27th, so that's 23 days. And I intend to talk to him tomorrow about improvements I think have to be made to programming, and I don't know if we had the time to do it, but in order for even get close to that goal, those improvements have to be made. So we'll be talking about that.
Okay.
What else? The quiet drive actually did very well. Its goal was $50,000, and it actually raised $60,000.
Oh.
So that was pretty nice.
Okay. To what would you attribute the success?
I think we got the message about tax deduction out pretty well.
Okay.
Also the message that because of the CARES Act that small donations are deductible now. So I think that probably had a big deal to do with it. And also, I thought the programmers did a pretty good job of making the pitches that they made.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for that feedback.
Yeah, so, however, for the February drive, I'm just still pretty trepidatious. If we are still having shows, from 5 years ago being dredged up, during the drive. Our long drives have not done well over the last, year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, and until things get better, I just don't see it getting better this February.
Bruce, for the stack, I don't know if I was supposed to wait till she's finished or...
Well, did you have a question about what she just specifically was discussing?
I have a suggestion.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Bruce. This is Bruce from New York. Go ahead, Bruce.
There's a ton of musicians in Houston who have no place to play, and I would try something like a Zoom concert or a Zoom fundraiser or a sing-along or a hootenanny. Anything to get... I could imagine every week you could have a different musician willing to do play his music on Zoom and, please give some money to KPFT and become a member and yada, yada, yada. It wouldn't be that hard to organize. They've got, most of them have nothing to do right now and no place to play.
Robin, have the music programmers used local musicians effectively in the last 6 months? Have we improved upon some of the things that we were doing with local musicians to better utilize their attraction to our listeners?
I guess you could say that has happened about three times since April of last year. There was that Songs from Home Zoom concert, which did very nicely for KPFT. That was in April, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Danny Wineman's concert?
No. Uh-uh.
Susan
this was
Darryl.
Before that. Yeah, Susan Darryl organized that. And there were about 30 musicians in it. Then Hank Lam did one that did okay. And then there was Sandy's, which did not do well because you really couldn't. You had to buy a ticket and get, a code so that you could even see it. So not too many people wanted to do that because there are so many people.
Yeah, I actually bought a ticket, and then I had trouble watching it, but I bought a ticket.
Yeah. So that has happened, a few times, and there's no reason it can't again. But we need people to get it together.
Well, if I can make a suggestion, I wouldn't dump it on the programmers because they've got enough to do. I think if the station goes out and finds some young people to organize it and do it and not ask the programmers to do it, you'll be better off. Plus, you get a bunch of young people, and you probably find some young musicians that go like, whoa, you know, holy mackerel, yeah. And I'll be on the radio, and I'll be on YouTube, and I'll be on Facebook, and I'll be on Zoom, and I got three buddies that want to join me. You know, I mean, don't ask the programmers to do it. Go out and find some new gasoline, you know, on the street. Seriously, I mean, I'll help you guys find somebody that's interested, but that's...
I tell you what, Bruce, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this under, when we get to fundraising, when we talk about item C.
Yeah, I didn't want to derail the
conversation. That's okay. That's okay. But I did want to ask one other question. Robin, when you said that you thought that the programmers were particularly good in this last drive, for the quiet drive, what was it about that the programmers did that you thought was effective?
Actually, I think it's just they had gotten more used to making pitches in that pre-recorded environment.
Okay.
That
okay.
They were just, it just sounded smoother.
Good.
You know, more, and for a lot of shows, it sounded smoother and, how shall I say, more integrated into the show. In a drive or two before, some of them tried to use pre-recorded pitches and whatever that sounded really jarring in the show, didn't sound like a part of it.
Yeah, okay.
And this time, I think they were just more used to it, I guess.
Well, it was pre-recorded, but they just kind of incorporated that quiet pitch in there, right? And it sounded smoother that way.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they didn't, you know, there are some people who have recorded, you know, pre-recorded pitches that you can just splice into your show.
Okay.
And that has been done in some of the older shows. You take an old show and try to put a new pitch in there. And that sometimes is really kind of jarring. I just get probably is a little off-putting in a way. But there was less of that this time.
Do we have any premiums that were particularly effective?
We didn't really have anything new. We brought back the hoodie. You know, the T-shirts for some reason are still very popular.
You sound surprised.
Oh, yeah, I am. I am kind of. You know, I'm bringing back the socks.
Oh, okay.
Because they were kind of like, because they're kind of expensive, but I kind of talked them into, let's bring it back.
Well, we still really haven't celebrated our 50th anniversary, have we?
Not really, no.
Mm-mm. Well, maybe we can talk a little bit later about how we can maybe celebrate our 50th, because it's kind of like, because of COVID, we just didn't really get to celebrate it. Maybe people want a little bit more of that. Okay, so let me step back from your presentation, and you proceed with what you wanted to say.
I think I'm done, I think.
Okay,
by the way,
so,
Bill's here. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Bill.
Wally's here, too. I've been on for a while.
Hi, Wally.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Wally.
Hey.
Hi.
Can I ask a question? This is Carol.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carol.
You know, so many people are out of work, have been laid off, you know, because of COVID. And it's getting worse, and Houston is getting affected a lot more. Do you think that's, or have you been able to tell a really dramatic drop in the kind of money we can raise? Because when she said $200,000 is a goal for this time, that seemed a lofty goal that, you know, everybody really would like to do that, but is that within the realm of possibility?
Based on our last few months of experience, we probably will not get there unless something, you know, totally unexpected happens.
Right.
You know, but in
well,
order
nothing
for...
nothing wrong with having a high goal, yeah.
No, I don't think so, and especially in order, you have to try for it, because in order to grow out of the
Right, right.
You know, low level that we're at now, we have to have more money one way or the other.
Well, do you think that is a factor, though, that the people that normally could be relied on have lost jobs or their money is going to other places just simply because, you know, the opportunities are just not the same?
Probably, yes. I mean, our membership seems to have plateaued at around 3,100. You know, it bounces
right.
up a few hundred every now and then, but it seems to be the plateau that we're at.
Right, yeah.
I haven't seen too many people saying cancel my pledge, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot fewer than I would expect. I would say about at the average rate, I think.
Right, right.
So of course, you know, COVID has to have affected it somehow. But I just cannot, I don't see anything obvious.
Well, if there's nothing obvious, then the impact isn't that dramatic. So it's something that we could work around.
Yeah, I think.
Remember also that we haven't had live pitching where we say who just called in immediately on the radio and stuff. I mean, I think they've done the best they can with the updates that are provided, but
right.
you don't hear phones ringing in the background and stuff like that. That usually helps to hype people up.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah, true. And that's mm-hmm. a sound I wish we could get back.
And do you think, Robin, have you noticed if there's any differences on like the shows that are typically have like live call-ins, if they've done worse or whatever, because those shows had to really change the nature of what they do because of the pandemic and not having live shows from home. I'm just wondering what sort of opportunities there will be to get more donations once we can get back to having live shows.
It's really hard for me to say. I mean, I'm just trying to think of those shows that kind of relied more on call-ins than anything, like
the prison show.
The prison show has actually figured out a way to get something like call-ins in, but they're doing all right.
But would the prison show is doing be adopted by other shows?
I do not know.
Yeah, we do that live over Zoom and take live calls.
Yeah. And they pre-record it a few days in advance.
And we pre-record it and broadcast it on Friday.
If I could interject, this
Who
Rob
is
Lee.
Rob? Okay,
Rob Lee. I'd turn this on its head. The unemployment rate for the state of Texas has gone from 3.5% to 8.1%. So we've got an extra 5%, which is significant. But if we turn it on its head, that's 92% of Texans that are still working. And so, again, yes, COVID has certainly impacted people, and we all know somebody who's out of work. But at the same time, the GDP of Texas probably is only going to be down about 5 or 6%. I don't think that we can, you know, throw up our hands and say we won't succeed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I had no idea the numbers were that positive. I didn't.
So
I know that the COVID numbers are going up in Texas.
What did you say, Rob? Rob, how did the ratios go?
The unemployment rate went from 2019 3.5% up to 8.1%. So again, it's up about 5%, a little bit north of there. But my point on this is, yes, COVID is serious. Yes, there's unemployment. But the great majority of people are less affected than maybe we theorize. And overall, gross domestic product in the United States will only be down by 4% for all of 2020.
Wow.
Bruce, let's start.
Go ahead, Bruce, and then I'm going to ask that maybe we officially go into item number 5 under pledge drive and follow the agenda. Go ahead, Bruce.
WBAI has done pretty well with cloth masks, which they sell for $35. So that might be something to try. And you can maybe locally source them, you know, and plug, you know, this local company's making them. They have black cotton, black and white cotton, and $35, and they seem to be doing pretty well, you know, with a, put a KPFT logo on it or something.
How much does it cost to get the mask, Robin, our masks?
Oh, you get two for a $50 pledge and five for a $100 pledge.
Oh, okay, you're already doing it, sorry.
Then you can give them to friends.
We got them.
Okay. I said then you can give them to friends. Okay. So item number five has three, has, I'm sorry, what'd you say, Bill?
Oh, could I just say something to you?
Go ahead, Bill.
KPFA this last year in 2020, they actually did pretty well by pitching to the effect that, you know, if because of people that can't donate because they're sick or they lost their jobs or they're caring for somebody that's lost their jobs, we need the other people to pick up the slack. And that, from what I've heard, they had some increased donations from, you know, regular people, like I say, because of that. But I don't know what.
Okay.
And I do think, though, that when we get when we start doing live shows again, even from home, there's more opportunity for getting listeners back. But I think we need to let them know with some email blasts when that happens, because we, especially our public affairs shows, I think we lost a lot of listeners because people don't want to hear discussions about news from last week. Where it's not, you know, some of the shows are not like that. They're not that timely. They interview people that it's not about today's news or yesterday's news. But the shows that deal specifically with what's happening right now, you know, people are more likely to change to another station if they want to get news updates. So I think that's an opportunity for improvement if we can get, you know, back to doing live programming. And I think that even the music shows have probably been hurt because there's been so many references on these old repeated shows, the, you know, about events that obviously happened weeks or months or years ago because it's a repeat show.
That's not relevant.
Well, I think it's opportunities for increased, for more donations and fund drive once we can get back to live shows. I think the only way we can go is up. I think it will get better. I'm trying to think positive
here. This is Robin. Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead,
lately, we've had some prominent musicians pass away, and because the shows aren't live, I mean, I remember in the past when that would happen, shows would turn on a dime and, you know, be able to put something together, a tribute to, you know, whoever had just passed away that day. But now you're waiting a week before that happens, and that immediacy is what we're... It's really hurting, I think, to not have that. So I hope the new general manager will work to get as much of that back as possible, as fast as possible.
Oh, this is Nancy on the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
This is old news, but I just want to repeat. KPFA did the best of the five stations, I think, in their fundraising. I mean, they went over their goal. And they did something like they gave a choice and no premiums, just gave a choice if you want to pick a nonprofit to get what I forgot what it was, 3% or something like that of whatever you give. And they had a huge list of I don't know how many. Gosh, I didn't count them. Lots of nonprofits listed on their home front page. And the only premiums they did were their logo items. So I just wanted to just keep that in mind. They went over $500,000 on one of the fund drives.
And Robin, could you tell us what KPFT was it? What percentage of overall donations were down for 2020? Do we have the stats yet compared to the prior year?
I haven't, well, actually, I looked for last year today, but just the, you know, total numbers. I wasn't comparing it to any previous years. That's something that I can do, but off the top
it would
of
probably
my head, I don't want to make a guess.
Yeah, probably would be interesting.
So you're asking for the statistics as to how far we've gone down from 2019 to 2020.
It would be helpful to the group to put things in perspective, yes.
Okay.
And it might be helpful for fundraising. I really like that idea of pick up the slack. And if we knew, for example, that we were down by 20%, would that be powerful to say, you know, on air, you know, some people are actually doing well, and if you are, we'd love for you to pick up the slack. Maybe we could think of a better way to say it. But it's a great idea.
Okay.
Well, I sent out a picture. I don't know whether or maybe I sent it by text or not. I did receive a holiday blessings card from Northwest Assistance Ministries, and it had a little grid on it with pictures, and then it said 1,773 children received a toy during the holiday season, 1,875 children were served in the pediatric health center, 900 families received housing placement. I thought those statistics right there in front of you were very helpful. And if we had good news with statistics that we could say, if we could say, this is our pick up the slack efforts, and you know our donations are down 20%, but we notice that more people picked up the slack in December, and we're asking, maybe if we could tie it to some statistics that showed that it was possible, maybe they would be more willing to give. I also received something which is always impressive. I received a beautiful card from the Pacifica Network, which is the affiliate network, and this is it has a picture of the three staff members of the Pacific Affiliates, and they're wearing their masks, and they're standing there in the snow. They got their boots on, and it says, the quote on the front says, never, comma, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble. And this is a quote from John Lewis. And then when you open it, it says, thank you for continuing to make good noise. Here's to better days in 2021. And then it shows the staff with their names. It makes me want to give. And then on the back of it, it described what the Pacifica Affiliates Network does. I just think that gave me a really good end-of-the-year feeling, makes me want to give money. And I sent another
This is
out.
Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
For
go ahead.
Sec.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to point out that raising funds for public and community radio is pretty much of a science. There's a lot of development practices that are used, and the messaging is extremely important. And just like you say, with that card from the Affiliates Network, makes you want to give. You will find when you research this stuff that a positive message is always going to be better than a desperation message. And we do have some certain amount of, you know, just trying to think of all the things to say on the air where people will say maybe some facts about how this time will hopefully be better because, you know, it came up a little short before. But I know for a fact I did meet the new manager, and I don't think he's going to want to concentrate on anything negative. We have a great opportunity in that we have incoming management that so we can, you know, just start off with a bang, I think, on you know, how this is the first permanent manager we've had in a long time. So we should be able to start on some campaigns that he'll want to talk about. I mean, we'll help him, I would think, in this committee. So that's all. Just we're a little premature, I think, on figuring out a message for how short we were, and we might want to concentrate on just how great this year is going to be, because 2020 was just pretty much horrible for everything in the whole world. So it's 2021 now. Yay.
Let me just say this. You know, I approached Egberto, and I said, you know, because I knew that I wanted to get, because I got this notice from Northwest Assistance Ministries, and I knew I wanted to support them because I know that a lot of people are getting food through them as well as clinical stuff, and like GED and ESL classes and things like that. So we made a little challenge, which he interviewed someone that was, I think, very personable and educated his listeners, and then he gave a little pitch. He said, we have someone out there that will match what you give to KPFT right now or through the 31st up to $1,000. And so people knew that if they gave to KPFT, they were also helping people get food. And I thought it was pretty effective, and maybe I really do want to help with a challenge for our next pledge drive. So
great.
If we can find something, if we can approach it like that, I would be happy to help. And
challenges always are helpful. Yeah.
Because to me, I'm motivated by the thought that if I give, somebody else is going to dig deeper into their pocket. Maybe somebody that can give more easily, but it's like doubles the amount of money that my charity gets.
Right.
So we're talking about the pledge drive. Do we have any other comments about the pledge drive, or Robin, do you have anything that you want us to do?
Bruce, was that?
Okay, let's let Robin say something first. Robin, is there anything specifically that you want us to do, and then we'll have Bruce make his statement?
I did not come with any particular task right now to ask anyone to do, not today. KPFT in the past has done the, you know, donate to KPFT, and we'll give a certain percentage to various charities. That has happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a little bit of advanced work and some pretty, you know, good record keeping to make that go well, but it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to do is bring that up with Dave tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and see if he's down for it. I know there's a few complications, such as, you know, maybe giving away money when he may not want to do that right now. But I know it has worked well in the past, and I will bring it up and see if he will go down for it. And if so, then I may have actually some tasks to ask this group to do.
All right, well, you said the drive is February the 4th, which is a Thursday, through the 27th, which is a Saturday, correct?
Yes.
And that is a long drive. That is a really long
drive. It's actually probably not long enough, but, you know,
is
I have to juggle a lot of things there.
Is there any chance that if we did better prep in advance of this pledge drive that it wouldn't have to be so long?
What does prep mean?
It just gags me. Well, I'll tell you what. After you talk to David, if you talk with me, I will send out. If you have some specific challenges for this committee, I will send out an email, and we can specifically each take on some jobs or some tasks, and see if we can challenge each other to actually accomplish something, improve the pledge drive. I have to think that for the last 2 years, one of the reasons why we have not done well is we have done not enough. You're the only one doing preparation for these pledge drives. We're just not planning far enough in advance to have a challenge grant committee or special premiums or a theme or some sort of strategic schemes to do better. Bruce, go ahead.
Point of order, Nancy?
Yeah, go ahead.
My point of order is
After you told Bruce that after Robin speaks first, then he could speak. And Teresa, could you put yourself on the stack instead of just cutting in any time to talk and to be fair with everybody else? That's all.
My pleasure. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I don't mind. You can interrupt me anytime. what I was going to follow on to what Robin said, and I think Nancy mentioned it. KPFA did very well with this revenue sharing fundraising that they did, you know, where they said we're going to give a percentage of the funds that we raise to these charities. And I think the trick there is to have the people in charge of the charities, you know, get on a cart and say, hey, this is who we are, this is what we're doing. KPFC is going to support us, and that will bring in, you know, their members who may not, you know, be active KPFC listeners. And so you've got like a new audience. And then to tag off of what Teresa just said, I think when you're talking about PrEP, you know, if you're going to do an on-air fundraising and you're just going to, like, start announcing it on the radio, the only people you're going to reach are the people who are already listening to the radio station. So I think the trick is to go and find people who aren't already listening to the radio station and give them a reason to donate and listen to the radio station, if you follow what I'm saying. Like an email blast prior to the fund drive to say, hey, we're having a party, we're having a concert, we're having this and that, the other thing, you know, KPFC, so yeah. All right, that's it. I'm done.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else want to say anything about the pledge drive before we move on?
Yeah, Bill. Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Who said something?
Wait a minute. Who said their name after Nancy did, or at the same time?
Bill.
Okay. Nancy, then Bill. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing that Bruce just talked about, and I had asked at the last meeting, could we appeal to the nonprofit to make a script that will be up to 50 seconds about their organization and not charge them anything for it, and let them say something, ask them to say something nice about KPFT. I think that's wonderful. And when can we get the permission from the new manager to do this? So that's a motion.
Well, repeat that one more time, Nancy.
It's like what Bruce just said. The trick to get those charities to make a cart, or we make a cart or produce it for them. They just make the script. So they talk about their organization. And then they say something nice about KPFT. Oh, we're really appreciating KPFT that let us have this time. And we won't charge them anything for it. So that way their voices, all these different voices of these different nonprofits, that's good, asking to support KPFT and then informing the public about their nonprofit. And we have 70. One time the list was 70. Robin had a list like maybe 10 years ago, 70 nonprofits. They're in bad trouble. And I contacted one, the HREG, the solar and the electric green, all kind of green ways to live, and they are so happy if they can have this chance to do it. But I told them I have to get permission first. So, Robin, would you talk to David Bayes? And did we invite our manager to this committee? Because I did. Just now, off by text, I said we're just having, and I gave him the number, but we should invite him. I don't think he knows.
Nancy, what makes you think he wasn't invited?
No, I said, did we invite?
Yes, we did.
Question. Oh, who
yes,
did?
We did. Because you were late, you didn't hear. He's on another call.
Oh.
Okay. So, go ahead, Bill.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to tell our GM what to do. And Robin, we only have one of Robin, and I'm sure she has her hands full. So maybe the question should be, how can we help? Maybe Robin can ask David what you know, we volunteers can do to help with the fund drive. And of course, we always already have the programmers. But I was going to suggest that also to follow up on something Bruce mentioned about finding people who are not already listening. Whatever changes David wants to make to improve things, I think we should be using our email list, for example, and letting people know about that. Even if we can't implement it all right away, say this is what's coming or this is what we're doing, especially anything about programming, you know, like if we're going to be doing some live shows, for example, give people a reason to start tuning in and a reason to donate. And if we can do that before the fund drive starts or just as it starts, that would be terrific, because that way we could, you know, remind people that we're KPFT is, you know, doing better and we're making improvements and to better serve the listeners.
Okay, so use the email blast to give positive feedback to our listeners, right? Is that what you're saying?
Tell people whatever we're doing, going to be doing different that David, you know, wants to change. Because they won't know about it if they're not listening. That was the point, like Bruce was talking about. Go to the people who are not already listening, and maybe who used to listen, but might not be, or at least not be listening very much right now.
Okay. I'm sure that he would have that in his strategies also. If we're doing something, we should tell people about it. Yeah, you're right. But I think that GM will know that too. And Robin is the one who does the newsletters.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to mention something that I learned today. I've always talked about cross-promoting, that I thought it would be helpful that if Igberto would mention a couple other shows and if Wally would mention another couple shows, that people, our listeners would get a better sense that we are at least friendly toward each other. The programmers are at least friendly toward each other. But today, when I was talking to David briefly, he mentioned an expression. I think he said appointment. He used the word appointment. In other words, when you're talking about, let's say you're doing a show and you say, here's so-and-so, I'm going to play his song, and in 15 minutes I'm going to play this, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young show, song, blah, blah, blah. So constantly your people that are listening are setting appointments like, oh, there's something happening at 3 o'clock. I'm going to stay on, keep listening for at least another 15 so I can hear what's happening at 3 o'clock. And then when you're talking about at 3 o'clock comes, you're saying, and at, oh, it's at 3:45, I'm going to do this. So somehow we need to smoothly and in a positive light promote special things that we're going to be doing in the pledge drive and set appointments with our listeners so they want to tune in specifically at certain times. Then they won't turn the dial. So just a thought. Maybe we can use that more effectively. So now the next item that we have is email blast and special promotions. Is there anything we should say about this? I know Bill just said something about it. Okay. Now the third item is other. Nancy, you said you wanted to talk about another development item.
Yes. I was thinking, I've been thinking about this a long time, but I didn't really know how to present this. You know, there's a lot of dancers, dance schools, and I don't know what they're doing. I guess they're going to virtual classes or something. But, I mean, I think we have a lot of people to sync up with the music and do dancing at the same time. Dancing for Pacifica. Has anybody ever seen this? You know, where you have all these musicians, I've seen symphony, where they're in different homes and they're playing their instruments and it's all coming together. It's not cacophony. It's really good stuff. And it seems like we could have our local dancers or even expand, doesn't have to stay in Houston, to dance to the music, impromptu. Suddenly, they're doing their own choreography, you know, impromptu choreography to the music that's coming on during the music shows. I don't know.
Maybe we could put links. Maybe we could put links on our Facebook page.
Well, what I mean is, when a music is played on the radio or online, there's a dancer, and the programmer said, well, if you look at Facebook Live or you look at something, you can see so-and-so who's going to be dancing with the music you're hearing on the radio. I've never seen this done, so I'm just concocting something that, you know, I'm thinking an idea where people might want to look at a dancer while they're listening to our music, because they can't go to a... they can't go to a ballet, they can't go to a dance, they can't go to a, you know, a real place, but if they see dancing,
Nancy, what
we have
dancers,
a lot of local dancers.
What dancers are you talking about?
All the local dance schools. There's all kinds, you know, ballroom, ballet, jazz dance, acrobatic, all these, you know, and they cannot meet together and dance, but we could sort of pull them in and have them dance, and then it would be impromptu. That means they don't know what's going to be played next, right? But they're going to be on camera, and people can listen to our music on our station and see a dancer who's dancing voluntarily for KPFT.
Well, what I'm going to
I'm just throwing the idea out, and I would... like any of you that think up something good, nancy.saibara@icloud.com, or to the whole committee probably is better.
Okay, well, I'll say contact Nancy if you have any idea of what can be done with that. Okay, next item, any other item development before we go to outreach? All right.
Point of order.
In case you hadn't noticed, our meeting is going to end by within the next half hour because I have another meeting at 7:30. So just want you to know.
I heard somebody's voice just now, Teresa.
Yes, I heard them too, but I wanted to finish my thought. All right, go ahead. Whoever said something.
Tom Harper on board.
Go ahead. Oh, hi, Tom. How are you? Welcome.
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Okay. So, any other comments before we go on to outreach?
Bruce, to the start.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I mean, just kind of like a takeoff on what Nancy was talking about. I mean, that might be a little hard to organize, but people are doing choruses on Zoom. The other thing that is really successful is improv comedy on Zoom, and everybody's in their house, but they're doing improv, and it's just like improv, you know, if you went to a cafe and watched it, and it's hysterically funny, and you can sell tickets to it, because if you don't give me the $10, I don't give you the Zoom link, and ditto for YouTube. I mean, you can actually, you do a concert, you can sell a ticket to the YouTube concert, because you don't publish the link. So if you send me the $10, you get the link, and then you can go watch it on YouTube, and you can keep selling, you know, the links. So anyway, that's it. I'm done.
All right, let's go on to outreach then. The first the first item is social media. There are four items. One is social media, then website, then email blast, and then any other special efforts to reach listeners. I would like to say something unless someone wants to go first. Well, okay. I was just thinking of this today. I am particularly drawn to the Moth and storytelling and our storytelling show. And I think that in times like these, when people can't get together, they rely upon storytelling. So the more opportunities that we have to have members of our community tell endearing, inspirational stories or compelling stories, from real life, I think that would just pull our listeners together. And we really have not aired the stories. We have a lot of stories that people gave us of how they have related to KPFT through the years. Because I started asking for those stories when I was talking to people, just asking how they discovered KPFT and what was their favorite show and how something they heard on KPFT affected their lives. So maybe we could get those on our Facebook, or maybe we could put some of those into our email blasts. Like we could honor so-and-so who this year has been a member for 40 years, blah, 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 something like that, just something. Okay, so anyone want to talk about social media?
Mike Lewis for the Stack.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm still putting stuff out on Facebook for the prison show and for KPFT, and I am getting bites on it, and people are donating, and I'm suggesting everybody try to put out a link on their Facebook page or Twitter and try to get, you know, a little bit of money for KPFT.
Okay. So you're doing it on Twitter and Facebook?
No, I'm doing it on just Facebook only, Mike Lewis KPFT on Facebook. But I'm encouraging people that if they don't like Facebook, they have a Twitter account or other type of social media, just drop a donation slot there so you can raise money for KPFT on social media.
Okay.
Bob, a sec.
Rob? Okay, go ahead, Rob.
It was Tom.
Tom.
Oh, I'm
Tom.
Sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, Teresa, you and I have already gone over Facebook did KPFT donation, and I do believe I set you up an account. Am I correct?
Well, you helped me walk through doing a pitch for my birthday in December. It was kind of
right.
Last minute, but, you know, better $200 than nothing.
Right. Okay, well, it's the same thing. And, you know, if you want to do it on Instagram, you know, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever, you know, that's the same deal applies. You're setting up a GoFundMe account for KPFT, and KPFT gets that money. The person that is sponsoring the account don't get a dime. So that's the main objective. And I do believe last year Robin and I emailed each other, and we had got an additional $5,000 for the radio station. So that's still going a ongoing event, you know, and I'm fixing to re-initiate my Facebook page for that same deal for KPFT, you know, and donate KPFT.org. So,
Robin, have any of these efforts been particularly successful to, you know, just off the top of your head?
Yes, as I just got done saying, it's $5,000. Additional $5,000 have been raised for KPFT.
Yes, but I was asking Robin if any of them were particularly effective, if there was something about the solicitations that was helpful.
You mean the Facebook ones in particular?
Yeah, or whatever. Just give us any information that you might have that can help.
Facebook at work. Getting donations over Facebook works pretty well. I cannot give you the number right now, but it is not insignificant. I don't have my computer on, so I can't. I ran this report today, and I could tell you, but anyway, it was in the tens of thousands of dollars that we've gotten for Facebook over the last year.
Okay.
Most of the fundraisers I see set up are really just individuals who, you know, send it to their friends and ask their friends to donate. Usually the goal is not high. It may be $100, $200. I've seen some have a goal of $1,000 and go over it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just whatever you think you can get your friends to do. So
are the programmers doing it much?
Yes, I would say. I'm just off the top of my head, I can think of 7 or 8 who do it from time to time.
Can you mention their names? Or?
Well, let's see. Mike Koenig, I know. Egberto does the prison show. Mike and Hank especially come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a music show. Oh, gosh, which is it? I think it's Sweet Nightmares.
Oh, okay.
Who has done this at least once in the last year, did a Facebook fundraiser and reached their goal. And I remember.
Okay.
And there are others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
a Sweet Nightmares is, yes, it's metal, heavy metal, so maybe younger people maybe or maybe not. It's rock. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay.
Anyway,
who was that?
If,
Mike Lewis?
This is Rob Lee, if I could
get a
second.
Go ahead.
I am not a social media expert, but what I do think is we probably ought to have more of a committee program, and this would be you know, an example of it. We ought to have somebody that's good in social media that's kind of on a committee or a subcommittee of this group. And I think over the long term, companies see significant value, and we need to really study how we can do social media at KPFT. You know, it is the future. I think this idea of a birthday is great. I probably should set it up for myself, but I think it just, you know, we ought to dedicate time to it, maybe not a lot of talk time, but I think it ought to be something that gets studied at a committee level and really gets pressed, you know, in this group.
Bruce, Zach.
Bruce? Okay. Rob, are you suggesting we have like a special, like, subcommittee telephone conference to talk to flush this out?
Well, and I have not been with you guys for a long time, but the one thing I would say is it probably would be a more efficient meeting if we did actually have, who knows what, 7 or 8 subcommittees where people, you know, picked what they'd like to be able to do, and then could, you know, everybody gets 2 minutes to report on their subcommittee, and then the other groups interject. But what you do have with the subcommittees is someone dedicated to, for example, social media and staying on it in between the meetings with assignments.
Well, if there's someone here that wants to do a conference call, I could try to get Mike Koenig or Hank Lamb to talk about their fundraising that they do on Facebook. Anybody else other than me wanted to actually talk with them and do a conference call about that?
I'll pull in. Like I say, I'm not good, but I took a social media class today on something else professionally.
Whoa.
But we have Mike already, Mike Lewis, on this call right now.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, okay. So Rob and me and maybe Mike Lewis and I will get another person maybe that's had some experience. And we'll maybe have a little smaller subcommittee telephone call. Okay. Was there somebody else that wanted to talk in queue?
Bruce.
Oh, Bruce. Bruce, I think you were next. And then did you say, was that Mike Lewis or who was that?
Tom to the stack.
Okay. So Bruce and then Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I apologize for butting in so much, but I'm just going to jump off. I'm going to jump off of what you said. The Queens Public Library has a large oral history project going on, and I'll email you some details on it. And basically, I think at the station said, we're going to do an oral history project, you know, and they go out and collect 15 minutes of, you know, people, older people in Houston and their life and their history and And you went to the Houston Public Library and you said, you know, we're going to do this project. Would you be interested? I think they'd be very enthusiastic about saying, yeah, that's something we'd love to do. And then the other thing is, have you guys ever looked at Amazon Smile?
Yes.
I've heard of it. Go ahead, signed up with Amazon Smile.
So are you pitching everybody who's listening, you know, to put KPFT as their Smile charity of choice?
It's not being pitched, no.
Good idea.
I'm done.
Well, maybe Robin could put that in her email blast. Nancy,
yeah, that I
next?
Could do.
I'm sorry, Tom's
I don't
next.
Understand.
Tom's next.
Tom's next, Tom.
Okay. I was pointing out that the social media is generating a lot of you know, a lot of recognition for KPFT, and I also would like to be on a subcommittee as well.
Thank you. Okay, fine. Okay, Nancy, did you want to say something before we go on to the next item?
Yeah. I'm a complete beginner as far as social media is concerned, but I would like to be on that committee.
Okay.
Get my feet wet.
Okay, all right. The next item that we have is website. Any comments about the website?
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, just Robin, just encourage David to look at it. It'll probably be obvious what we need. Of course, we need people to do the work. You know, but we need
I bet you
regularly updated content, as I'm sure you know.
Updated format too. It's like exceedingly unwieldy. I'm sure he's looked at it, and I'm sure he's thought we got to do this in a totally different way. Now I got to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. I would like to see a little color on it. Just seems so bleached white. Okay. Any other comments about the website?
Bruce Mistek.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Actually, if you look at KPFA's website, they've got a very, very nice website. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to say, well, you know, he's doing a good job, so let me do something like him. But I find their website to be very good.
KPFA. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I
That's
think there seems
Berkeley,
to be, I feel kind of a consensus that we want that. We really want the website to, for over the course of several meetings, it seems like people want that website to be worked on, but we haven't figured out how we can get that done until we actually hire somebody, because volunteers are not forthcoming. Nancy, did you want to say something?
Yes, I wanted to ask Robin about that. Is it really true we don't have any volunteers to work on the website?
I don't know of any.
Really?
Well, no, I don't know of any. And I have not pursued any. The website is a pain, you know. So this is what I know. I don't know of any.
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, you know, there's a difference between posting stuff on the website and providing content. And one of the things that takes time is to write what you want to put on it and find graphics, get links to other websites or whatever you want. And if we could use volunteers for that, I think that's the most time-consuming part. And just funnel that onto a webmaster who might be part-time, you know, paid person, perhaps, who could just post it and figure out how to organize it. But, you know, you need regularly updated content for making it interesting, and I don't think it's realistic to expect one person to do all that. down, at least when there's, you know, opportunities for volunteers to provide content, and, you know, they don't have to, it doesn't have to get up instantly, but whenever the paid person can get to it. Would that make sense, Robin, if somebody else could help generate that stuff?
Okay. I have many thoughts on this. we have 200-some volunteers who are on air who are natural content creators, you know, even though they're not thinking about creating it for a website. Somehow, and this would solve some problems in social media too, we need to be able to find out what are they going to do in their next show. Who are they going to be talking to? What musicians are they highlighting? That sort of thing. So that we can get that on a website and in all the social media that we have. You need, it's, once you have the format, once you have a new website that looks better and all that, then yes, you do need someone to keep that content flowing. I mean, this is, you know, something that has been done in fits and starts, but never too seriously, it seems. So what's the point of that? What I'm saying is that it's really important to get the content we have that's provided by the people who go on the air. That's what people listen to radio for. Yes. And that's been a bottleneck that we haven't solved yet. Maybe the new manager can get it through to the programmers that you got to let the web person know who's you know, who's on next and what you're going to be doing so that we can use it to promote it all over the web in all kinds of ways.
Tom, so, Stack.
That's what we need to do.
Go ahead, Tom.
Isn't Bobby Modad in charge of that website?
I think he keeps it alive. He keeps it, you know, whenever problems come up, he fixes it. But right now, the only person who puts any content on the website right now is me, and I don't have usually anything to say. So
yeah,
it gets very stagnant, and it's not what I want to do anyway.
May I make a suggestion?
Okay,
Robin?
Who is that?
Robin, may I make a suggestion?
Who is that, Tom?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead, Tom.
Why don't you send out a probe to each programmer, you know, email each programmer to see if they have any new subjects or topics that can be put on the website. So that way it will help promote not only their show, but it will help promote KPFT.
All right, Nancy?
I'm not sure I want to have that job. This was tried before. We had Sam Oser, who was supposed to be working on the website, and she did set up a system for programmers to basically report what's going to be on their next show, and that sort of thing. Because it wasn't pushed by the general manager at the time, this is what I think, almost no programmers used it. And that's about the only way to keep up with the information that you need is to have the people to actually, you know, provide it. So, yeah, you're going to have someone whose job is to chase that down all the time. Like I said, I'm not sure I want to be that person.
Well, my apologies. I'm just making a suggestion. Okay. This is Rob Lee.
I tell you what, Nancy and then Rob. Go, Nancy.
Yep. Okay. If y'all look at kpfa.org, that's exactly what Bruce was talking about. You know, it's a little graphic, and then it's the show, a little small paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 7 or 8 sentences about what that particular show is about. And it's even got a way to listen to it immediately. You don't have to go digging through and combing through the archives. So if you look at kpfa.org, it is nice. It does promote the shows. And those programmers, if their show is promoted like this, I think they will be more proactive. That's all.
I think KPFA has a full-time person to do that.
I'm on the website, and I would agree. And again, I know this group is stretched pretty thin. I think that, you know, this is all kind of part of social media. You know, this hopefully will be developed, but we, you know, have identified a need. I don't think we'll ever resolve how we're going to satisfy that need right here. But it sounds like everybody agrees, boy, you know, the website needs to be improved for multiple reasons. And the only thing that I was going to add new was I think his name is Dog. He's got I think a Sunday show with Colleen. They have a website apart from
the Blues Hound, Jim Nagel.
The Blues Hound. There you go. And they have a website outside of KPFT, and that, of course, should be integrated into KPFT, although maybe there's a reason that they don't want it there. But we want to drive traffic to the KPFT website, and that would be something if it could be incorporated, amongst them, I'm sure, many other things.
Okay, may I ask the group if there is a consensus that we want our general manager to make the website a high priority?
I think it should be.
Yes. Yeah, but there's a lot of high priorities right now.
Okay.
But yeah, it should be one of them.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'm going to put that in the minutes. Go ahead, Nancy.
I think we in this committee should learn something new and help, like finding graphics. That's a doable thing. Helping to even writing these small things. I'm looking at KPFK. They're doing that too. About they just had a new show yesterday. Fantastic. BLM, Black Lives Matter, brand new show. That's what we should do. I don't know if it works here in Red Texas, but people want to hear that kind of thing. Yeah, we should learn how to do something. The social media, roll up our sleeves and learn. I mean, I'm willing to learn. I don't know anything about social media. I'm sort of scared of Facebook. And then the show called Free Thinkers, they're telling people if you're afraid of social media, then do Float, and it's safe, and it's they don't do bad things to you, and they're supposed to be very. Have y'all heard of Float? FLOTE, I think. Okay, that's all. Bye bye. Back to you,
Bruce. In a sec.
Go ahead. Was there someone before Bruce? Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, I mean, when I was talking about KPFA, I was talking about the what, not the how, which is an entirely different question. But to key off of what Robin was saying, what you really need for the website is a content management system. And what that does is it basically gives the programmers a form to fill out, and they put in the date, time, the guests are going to have on the show, graphic, whatever they want, and then say submit, and that automatically puts it on the website. So, I mean, there's no way that Robin's going to be able to do this kind of coordination and bird-dogging and follow-up and nagging. So you have the website, use a content management system, and each programmer can fill out their stuff. Or they don't, you know, that's the solution to the problem. And it's like automatic. I'm done.
Okay, I would like to say something, too. Thank you, Bruce, for your mention of a content management system. I remember, and Wendy knows this, we all pretty much know this, if you know Pacifica, that we used to have folios. And the folio would have a count. Get your folio on the first of the month, and on the fifth of the month, played at this hour, 2:00, and you knew who on the 15th. You knew who that person was going to interview. But it's like our programmers are not thinking even a week ahead. And I think maybe it's a culture, or it's a something where we're not encouraging or assisting our programmers or we're not insisting that they do it, and we're not helping them do it where we would like them to plan for farther ahead so people could make an appointment, tune in on such and such a day because they want to hear this person be interviewed or this person's music. So I think we really need to find somebody on our website that will work on that. So we'll put that request in and see if our general manager comes on our meeting next time and says, well, I was successful, or I need your help. All right, the next item
Bill.
Is email. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, just real quickly, you know, this fits in with social media and everything, too, because, you know, people aren't going to go to the website now unless we tell them there's going to be some new content there. But, you know, even if you just have a few programmers that will tell people, like, what's going to be on my show in the next week or two, that's the kind of thing that could go into an email newsletter. And, you know, it doesn't have to be comprehensive, but I know KPFK, for example, does this. They'll say, well, we've got this event coming up or this special coming up or whatever, or maybe just a special guest on some show. And if this was done a few times and went out to our whole email list, it might encourage other programmers to provide content so that, you know, that we could promote their shows too. Because what we need to do is get people to, it's another form of forward promotion. We should do it on the air, but we can also do it through emails and also social media. Like a lot of individual programmers are promoting their own shows, which is good, but KPFT could do it, you know, for several shows at one time periodically, you know, with a email newsletter or whatever. But somebody else has got to help Robin write the content. You know, that takes time too.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Bill. Anybody want to say anything about email blast, which we've already covered? Okay. Hearing none, any other special efforts to reach listeners? We only have 4 more minutes, and then I have to get off the phone. So, Nancy, there was something you said that was an outreach item that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, but I can send it to by email to everybody. I mean, I was thinking about a premium. It's called a Mama-san apron. I've never seen it in this country, but in Japan, everybody wears a Mama-san apron. It's like a long sleeve shirt, but it's slit in the back and has little strings to tie it up. So you protect your whole front, your chest, your arms, everything from grease or whatever when you're cooking, and then decorated with like KPFT.org, whether it's famous shows or something like that. Anyway. Anyway, I'll draw a design and send it to the committee.
All right. Now, I'm looking. So here, if there's nothing else, then we're going to go to scheduling our next meeting. I do not see anything on KPFTX for Tuesday, the 2nd of February. Is there any objection to Tuesday, the 2nd of February at 6 p.m.
No objection.
All right.
Are we in fund drive at that time?
No, we don't start the fund drive until the 4th.
4th, okay.
What time again? Did you say 6?
I said 6 p.m. Central on the 2nd, but I think Tom Harper wanted to say something.
No, go ahead. I said I have no objections. Go ahead.
Okay. Unless there's an objection, we're going to go with the 2nd. Now, this is a little bit different than we've been doing because I think we've been doing the 2nd. But I'm going to go with that. And
is there any conflict with any other national committee at 6?
There is, there is no conflict on KPFTX at this time.
Okay. Wait, let me see, because I think I have a meeting I think it's Wednesday I have.
Robin, did you want to say anything before we close the meeting?
Well, thank you, everyone, I guess.
I have a question more time.
Robin.
Really quick. You keep talking about these email lists. Who do you send these emails to? Because I never get an email from KPFT. I've never, ever, ever, unless Teresa reminds me of a meeting.
Is your spam maybe stopping it?
No, because when I get on my email, I look at my new mail, and then I look at spam so I can delete it, and it's not taking up so much space. So, I just have not ever received one. I mean, ever.
Carol, I remember you mentioning this last time I was on this call, and I looked, and you are signed up as Jasmine's son.
At AOL.com.
Yeah, someplace like that, yeah.
Yeah, one of the few people. Well, why am I not getting them?
I don't know.
I don't either. But like I say, I check spam because I just periodically go, you know, look at it and delete it if it, you know, it's not anything I need to look at. But anyway, okay. Well, I listened to. Huh?
Okay. It is 7:29. Go ahead. I think that's Tom. Is that Tom?
No, it's Bruce.
Bruce, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, it's real quick. But here in, they're on Long Island, the public libraries allow you to put up flyers for nonprofit events. And actually, the library system that I belong to has like 65 libraries. And if you give them 65 flyers, they will send the flyers around to the libraries and put them up on the bulletin board. So if you've got like a special event, or some sort of 50th anniversary or appreciate a pioneer in Houston history and you make up a flyer and you send it to the library and say, hey, this is on the air. It's like free PR for the station.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. And, you know, I think maybe at our next meeting I will maybe encourage people to come in a little bit early. Maybe to kind of introduce or say a little, you know, maybe start with saying something so we get to know each other a little bit better. This was a pretty good meeting, but I really would like to get to know you all a little bit better because it warms my heart to get to know the people that I have through KPFT. And it's my pleasure to work with you.
And my pleasure to be here.
Teresa, mm-hmm.
Thanks, Teresa.
Could you send us an email with everybody's email on it? I don't say it on the air because this is recorded and it's going to be posted. So then we can have each other's email and can talk to each other. We don't
Fine,
have to wait until the next meeting to talk with each other.
But just don't spam me, okay? Please. Don't overwhelm me. You have so much energy, Nancy. Just try to be a little bit careful how much do you send to me, okay?
No, I mean, for us to have everybody's, all of our emails, we don't know who each other is. I don't know Rob's email. Who else is on here? Everybody else I think I know. But,
all right.
Unless Rob's
okay.
Bill, you know, we have a Google group. We could just add people to that and use that again. We haven't used it lately.
Well, I'm going to go. So good night, everybody. Talk to you
good
next
night,
month.
Girl.
It's 7:30.
Are we adjourned?
Good night.
I move we adjourned.
Thank you all.
Okay, good night.
Thank you, Bruce. Nice talking to you. Rob, I'm going to send you an email.
Thank
hopefully
you, everybody.
We'll be together. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, everybody.